It's the Real Faith for Real Life podcast, back with a special summer bonus edition. Today we're talking about what youth ministry looks like in 2022. And joining me today, it's Eric.
What's up?
And another Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Our new youth director here at Cascade, Eric Rosendahl, and our family ministries pastor, Eric Vanderwall. We're going to dive into that and a lot more on today's episode. We're glad you're watching or listening. This is Real Faith for Real Life, a podcast from Cascade Fellowship in Grand Rapids, Michigan. All right, we're so excited to dive in today, talk about youth ministry. But first, you know, we always check in with what's going on in the world on this podcast. We believe that real faith intersects with real life. And we have fun news stories here. We have fun with the news, right? So I was reading the other day that a four-year-old got a hold of his grandmother's phone and ordered $230 worth of coffee.
That's
three
a lot.
Tall caramel macchiatos, four venti iced caramel macchiatos, eight bacon and cheese egg bites, and on it goes. Man, can you imagine? By the way, the kid's name is Jackson.
Right. And if my Jackson did that, he would be in deep, deep trouble.
How long would it take him to pay you back for that? Lots of chores.
Yeah, a lot of chores.
I think when I was four, I was probably playing with like Pokemon cards or playing marbles.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Not with your mom's phone.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
The good news is the story says he left a $30 tip. So, yeah, I mean, he's nice. He's a good kid.
Yeah, that Uber Eats driver's loving his life for sure.
Absolutely. And also, the family did not let anything go to waste. The article ends by saying they eventually managed to get through that entire order of coffee in just under 3 days.
Holy cow.
How long would it take you to go through $230 worth of coffee?
Probably at least a month, 2 months. Yeah, I drink coffee, but really not that often.
So. Yeah, it doesn't warm up well, does it?
No, the coffee would go bad before you could finish it.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Especially like Frappuccinos.
Nope.
Put them in the freezer, take them out to thaw again. Just all watery.
The logistics are a nightmare.
No, thanks.
So, yes, the second story I saw was, you know, about this. First story was about this young child, about a four-year-old. So next story, we're going to move up in age a little bit to a 23-year-old. Still a young person. Yep. And what do young people love? Their phones. This 23-year-old in the news loved his phone so much that he fell into Mount Vesuvius after he dropped it while trying to take a selfie. So he climbed down into the mouth of the active volcano trying to get his phone back and slipped and fell. Now, he didn't have any serious injury, but they were able to rescue him and give him a nice fine, I think, for being where he should not be.
I'm sure they did. Now, we had a little conversation a second ago. Mount Vesuvius is the volcano that blew up and destroyed Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of measured it, you know, destroy a city or have your iPhone destroyed. And clearly in this day and age, if you're 23 years old and you drop your phone, the thing of higher importance is likely to save the iPhone.
But here's my thoughts. I think it would be a lot cheaper to have AppleCare Plus and to just be on the phone with customer service to get your phone replaced. That'd be a lot cheaper than that fine you had to pay for getting saved, you know?
That's true.
I love it. Yeah.
How old are you now? You're 24, right?
I'm 25.
25. Yep. So you're right in the same age range. You would not walk into an active volcano to get your phone.
No.
Good for you.
I love my phone. I love technology, but I think I value my life and well-being a little more than that. So.
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, things like this in our main segment today. What are young people today struggling with? What's the reality on the ground like for people growing up today? And how do we minister to them? So we're going to dive into that on today's episode. Stay tuned. All right. So Eric and Eric, we are talking about youth ministry in 2022, and it is challenging, to say the least, right?
I would say 100% challenging, yes.
Yeah, I just came across a serious, not a fun news article, but a serious news article in The Atlantic that said the U.S. is experiencing an extreme teenage mental health crisis. From 2009 to 2021, the share of American high school students who say they feel persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness rose from 26% to 44%. in a new CDC study. That's the highest ever recorded. So teens are sad and they're feeling hopeless, like almost half of them are. And objective measures such as eating disorders, self-harming behaviors, even teen suicides are up sharply over the past decade. I was reading an article where a child psychiatrist was saying she's never seen it this bad. She's never seen anything like this before. Are you starting to see that in some of your interactions with kids today?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak first and just kind of say, I think a lot of this has been a long time coming, possibly even beginning with the invention of that iPhone that was dropped into Mount Vesuvius that we mentioned before. This constant connection to screens and disconnect from real life relationships where you have to learn how to balance your emotions in the midst of real people in front of you, that has started this transition and this change in the lives of students. I also think post-pandemic that a lot of this has just been amplified because all students were really compressed into their houses and unable to be around people. And so they just dove deeper into that phone that really actually was giving them this fake sense of relationship with other people. And in that lack of relationship, I truly believe that's where we find some of these statistics taking root in the hearts of our students.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. Even in this Atlantic article, the very first cause they listed was cell phones and social media and all that stress that goes along with that. So Eric R., are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that one rule I like to have with youth is that when we are hanging out at a youth group or a retreat, I say put your phones in a basket, you know, and the crazy thing is usually the first half hour or 45 minutes is a lot of complaining of like, wait, what if someone's trying to Snapchat me? What if I lose streaks? You know, all of that.
So important. Yes.
Yes, exactly. But I've noticed that after they get used to not having their phone on them, they're a lot more likely to engage in real conversation.
Like you were saying, Eric VW. It's for people listening and not seeing which Eric I'm looking at here. I mean, it's kind of like a false sense of connection, right? Phones give you this illusion of connection, and teens are now actually more disconnected than ever. And the pandemic has just really taken that existing trend line and just skyrocketed it. And I think, you know, in ministry, one of our goals here at the church is to equip people for living the Christian life. And our goal in every stage of life is discipleship. It's helping people be followers of Christ. So when I think about this age group in particular, middle school and high school, I'm thinking, man, connection is one of their chief developmental tasks. Finding their place, finding a sense of belonging and a sense of identity, you know. And man, what we've been talking about makes that so hard. So what do we do in ministry to equip our kids to go through that developmental stage successfully? So Pastor Eric, you are interested in equipping the parents to be good parents. And Eric Rosendahl, you are interested in equipping the kids to navigate through this very adolescence is always difficult. It's maybe more difficult now than ever, but it's a difficult time, right? One of the things that's on my heart, particularly, I talk to our staff about this frequently, is people deconstructing their faith. You know, you've maybe heard that term, even some leaving the faith, calling themselves ex-evangelicals. So they're kind of disgusted with what the church has become. And we won't get into that on this podcast. A lot of reasons people are walking away from the church, and it's worrisome. The trend line is not good, you know, for the next generation. So yeah, part of my heart in equipping kids in middle school and high school is to equip them to face the challenges that will come to their faith. They leave this protective bubble of their family and the home and maybe a Christian high school or whatever it is, and they get out there and their faith is challenged. So how do you like to equip kids to handle that and not end up deconstructing like this is happening now?
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's what's really important that I like and focusing on this school year with our high schoolers is making their profession of faith. And again, that is not just something that's checking the boxes. It's I want the high schoolers to truly know what that means in terms of the faith. So it's my job to have a loving, safe, nurturing environment for them to question, to do that deconstructing, but then to always point them back to Christ and why their faith is so important.
Yeah, that's interesting, helping them own their own faith.
Yeah.
Yep. And that involves questioning.
Mm-hmm.
So why not have that happen in an environment where you can come to some good answers instead of in a hostile environment?
Yep.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. And, you know, my passion here at our church is to make sure that people know faith makes sense. You know, you don't have to turn off your brain. You don't have to believe in fairy tales. When you go off to a secular college and you hear the faith challenged, you can be like, no, this actually makes sense. You know, I can still believe this and not be an idiot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in my teaching, I kind of take that approach sometimes, but there are other reasons people walk away from church as well. What do you think, Eric? What are some of the things you're seeing? Because you're dealing with the age group that is walking away more than any other, 20s, 30s, in your ministry to these families and young adults. What do you see in them that is causing that generation to question faith and question the church, and what can we do for them?
I think a lot of what I might assess it as, and listen, I'm no expert in this. I'm just a guy who's in the middle of serving the local church with it, but is just this heightened level of distraction and this heightened level of opportunity. I think that might be one of the easiest things for the enemy to grasp onto and say, hey, listen, I can pull somebody away from the community, the body of Christ, because there's this really cool thing that they can be a part of. That really cool thing is not bad, but if it starts to replace God slowly, just once, you know, and then twice, and then three times, we start to see people prioritize something other than, you know, the church, the body of Christ, and God himself. And so they just start to think, you know, what is most important to me? Without even knowing it, doing something that was fun and good and just fine, you know, starts to become the thing that replaces God.
Yeah, I think that's another trend line that the pandemic has accelerated, right? People had been prioritizing other things in life other than church. And when the coronavirus kind of took away a lot of our normal meeting schedule, then people lost that habit. And it's important that we reassert why it is important. Why being part of a real community is important. So I don't know. Those are just some of the things on my heart. I'm glad that you're on the front lines with young adults and you're on the front lines with the middle school and high school students. And I would love to, you know, transition now to talking maybe practically, you know, what youth ministry might look like beginning in the fall. When we were interviewing you for the job, you said something that we really just loved, which is that you enjoy lock-ins. And we were like, wow, here's this guy's unique. This guy's built different.
Yeah, he is.
Let's just say I definitely need a couple Red Bulls to get me through. But I really enjoy those because there's something about when it's 2-3 in the morning and everyone's pretty tired. But that's also when people are willing to hear me out, to listen to others, and to just have good conversation. I've found their walls are not up nearly as much as they would be when they first get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when good conversations happen, and that whole quality time piece can take place. And everyone can realize, hey, yeah, I'm at youth group, and sure, I don't know everyone here, but at the same time, I feel comfortable enough where I can ask those questions, mm-hmm. where I can learn, and where I can be receptive to listening to some old guy who would be me talking about mm-hmm. Christ, you know.
Yeah, and trips are similar, right? You get out of the area, out of the environment, and you have that same openness to talk about deeper things. So you've got some trips planned, retreats or even mission trips, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that's in addition to the usual weekly meeting schedule. Tell us about all of that, what we can kind of expect in the fall here at this particular church.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm planning on doing youth group. So it would be 6th through 12th grade. split up between 6th through 8th and 9th through 12th. And then they will meet on the first and third Sundays of every month. And it would, that would be more of a traditional youth group style, so to speak. So would have food or snacks, because everyone loves free food. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be some games, just hangout time. And then there'd also be a lesson. Mm-hmm. And I'm planning on having a kind of a lesson plan on, like Eric Vanderwall had said, of how to read the Bible and how to read the world. So kind of what's important for me there is, a lot of people grow up in the church. They read the Bible. They know Psalm 23. They know John 3:16. But what about the different types of literature found in the Bible? Whether it's poetry like the Psalms, or maybe it's more narrative based. Who knows? So it's something that's been on my heart to teach the kids about, and that can help inform them of their biblical knowledge, and then help provide them with the framework of the Bible and who God is. And then after that, I want to build upon how to read the world. So we are definitely called to live in the world, to go forth, you know, make disciples, to love God and love others. But what does that look like? So that will be the second part of what I want to focus on for this school year.
All right. We're super excited for that. Eric Vanderwall, you want to share anything from Family Ministry?
Yeah, super excited to continue partnering with families. I kind of like to see the role of having been the youth pastor and kind of hosting youth group to really sort of doing the same thing with parents. What does it look like for us to gather together in fun, big settings? What does it look like for us to gather together in more maybe intimate or small group, life group settings? How do we, you know, share food together? How do we study the word together? I want to ask a lot of those questions and start to create a pathway for parents to be involved as well, too. Not to just drop their kids off. This is not a daycare. You know, we don't just want you to pitch them out your car as fast you can and drive away as fast as you can, but actually to stick around and be a part of what's happening here. It's so important, parents, for you to be formed too, alongside of your kids. And my hope is to give you some of those hard questions to ask in the midst of whatever Eric is teaching or whatever Paige is teaching. Give you some resources to talk about, you know, proper screen use and what we do with our time within our families, and how do we practice spiritual disciplines at home? That's a tricky one. I want to resource you to be able to live into this calling of being a mom or a dad as best you can. We talked about, what does it look like to do a retreat, whether it's for the whole family or just for parents? How do we resource women and men, or moms and dads? And so we know that there is going to be a women's conference this fall, and I'm super excited for that. October 15 is what I believe the date is. We're still looking for that perfect one for the men and for dads. We will have another camping opportunity in the summer next year. We would love for families to come out to that. This year, we're planning on about 88 people, so that will be very fun. Wow. We would love more people to join us. But then what does it look like for mom and dad to have a retreat weekend as well, too? How do we equip them together apart from their kids? I'm not sure quite how to answer that yet. I'll just be honest with you with that. But we are looking for the best way to do that, so that there is a way not to escape from family, but to refresh and recharge so that you can give the best you when you're at home.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you described it, maybe jokingly, as youth group for adults.
Yeah.
But we all need fun.
Yeah.
Right. And you've been trying to inject some fun into our ministries for several years now. And like we had the kickball tournament with the young adults, with the families. We had about 20, right?
Yeah.
So I never got on a base. I kicked the ball and was straight up in the air, and it was immediately caught. You know, I didn't contribute anything to my team, but I had a great time.
Yeah.
And I got to know the people better, and we had some new folks new to our church who got to integrate into there, meet some new people, go out to eat afterwards, maybe join a small group. So I'm really excited. I mean, it's going to be really neat to see some investment in families, because Eric R., you'll do a great job with the kids, like an hour a week or whatever, but how many hours does that leave for the parents?
Yeah.
So if we don't equip the parents, you know, it's I don't know.
Like, yeah, I would say we wouldn't be being faithful as a church, as a local church.
Right.
Our calling is to love God, love others, and make disciples. We want to guide all of our families and all of our kids to do that well. And if we're just signing them in and signing out and just taking attendance, we're missing the mark. God has called us and equipped us and resourced us for so much more. And we want to do that very well this year.
Yeah. And so the very last thing I want to do on the podcast today is just welcome Eric to the team officially. And
thank you.
You know, you have a really great story. You know, as we were interviewing you for the job, it's really apparent you have a real relationship with God. You know, you're seeking his leading and trying to discern his will and wrestling with him even, you know, and that it really impressed me a lot. So is there anything you want to share with folks that just about your story and how God brought you here?
Yeah, definitely. So I hope you guys have time for another 2-3 hours for me to recount my story.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so I was actually born in South Korea. And then when I was a baby, I was adopted and grew up in Holland, Michigan. And then ended up going to Hope College, studied business. So you may ask why I'm in ministry or how I'm in ministry. And all I can say is that's definitely God at work. So just could not help but feel a strong calling to ministry. And I honestly saw you guys were hiring for a student ministries lead, and I knew Eric a little bit from Camp Geneva, where I was a camp counselor, and decided to reach out and chat, and for some reason you guys liked me, or I don't know, or maybe God told you to hire me anyway. Yeah. However that worked, but really excited to be here to really grow my roots with Cascade and get to know all the families. So
yeah, Camp Geneva has given you some great experience, right?
Yeah.
And also you've worked with a pretty large church in Holland and kind of seen the ins and outs of youth ministry there and contributed to that. So I really like all the perspectives you're bringing to our program. And thanks. You are a seminary student as well right now.
I am.
And that's with Western, right?
Yep, I'm at Western Theological Seminary in Holland as well.
Yeah.
So that's been really good, really fun and informative, but excited to go part-time there so that I can use that knowledge and apply it to my work.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's the way I did it too. Mm-hmm. It took a long time to get through the courses, but studying while putting it into practice is like the best.
Yeah.
You can lock yourself in an ivory tower and learn about ministry, but it's once you get out of that ivory tower, you're going to be like struggling.
What's going on?
No offense if anybody listening did it that way, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. So to put into practice as you're learning is great. And so I know Eric VW, you're excited to work with Eric R, and I'm excited to work with both of you. And of course, Paige, who's part of the family ministry team as well. And for folks watching or listening, we're excited for you to get to know Eric better as he joins our team. For parents especially, hey, as the lead pastor here, let me just reiterate what these guys have said. It is super important that you get fully involved for the spiritual health of your kids, for their just health, their emotional development, their relational development, for them being healthy in this age. This is a really important thing. So we hope you'll get behind this and really get them here. And we hope you'll be part of Eric's ministries as well. So, man, I hope in this coming ministry season when we launch in fall, you'll be behind it 100% and maybe even extra credit if some of you want to volunteer. Eric, would you take them? You would love volunteers, right?
Yes. We'll just leave it at that. Yep. Yeah.
It takes a lot of people to run a quality program. And it's a blessing as well to use the gifts God has given you, the life experiences you've had to invest in mentoring a young person. It's such a blessing, right? I mean, you've seen that, Eric, over your years.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better. And you can ask any of those people who have served in the past years as well, too, that they will say that was some of the best moments in serving within the church. The relationships they've built, the way that you can actually see God working. I mean, it is not only transformative for the student, but also for the person who's kind of behind the wheel there.
Yeah, and one of our emphases this coming ministry season is to really invest in that team of volunteer leaders. to really make it a good experience for you and a spiritual formative experience for you as well as you grow by serving. So we really hope you'll consider all of this and want to invite you to reach out to any of us, and we'd be glad to help you plug in at a very, very deep level. All right, so we'll be back in about a month with another bonus episode and meet another new member of our staff here and discuss another ministry area and what it looks like in 2022. So we'll see you then. Have a great summer, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.